So the reading today is from Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 to 22. So when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire, by day or night. I'll just start that again. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. Amen. Thank you.
Psalm 121, verses 7 and 8 say these words. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. You know, I guess most of you know, it's a bit of in the playground at school. You know, you might get a couple of lads and it's like, you know, they fall out for whatever reason. And one of them might say to the other one, oh, I'm going to get my dad on you. And obviously then the reply is, isn't it? Oh, yeah, but my dad's bigger than your dad. You know, we've all kind of heard that one. You know, my dad's bigger than your dad. Well, you know, part of our Heavenly Father relationship, our big Heavenly Father dad, part of that relationship, I feel, is being under his protection. And that's certainly what I was trying to think about today. So the question has to be a little bit, what does it mean, what does it look like to be under our Heavenly Father's protection? What I know is that it's not an absence of things going wrong or an easy life. And we know that, don't we? It would be so wrong for me to stand here and say, as a Christian, God's on your side, I absolutely could say that. God, I believe you're under God's protection. I can believe that. I'll say that, and hopefully I explain more why that. But that means you're going to have an easy life. Nothing bad is going to come towards you. You're not going to have any problems. You're not going to have anything going wrong. We know, I know, you know, that that's just not the case. So being under God's protection cannot be this sense of, well, everything's going to be all okay all the time. I'm going to live in some holy bubble and everything's well. We know it's not that. So when I start there, then I've got to think to myself, well, what does it mean to be under God's protection? One of the quotes that I heard was this, and I kind of like it. It's about this. It's about preserving our inner strength, security, peace, and hope as we go through. Okay, let me read that to you again. It's about preserving our inner strength, security, peace and hope as we go through. So what I want to look at today is three ways in which I think God does protect. The first way is I think God brings his protection through his leading and through his guidance. The background to the story that Zoe read for us, many of you will know the story of God's people in Egypt. And they're crying out to God, rescue us. So what God does eventually is he raises up Moses. Moses goes to Pharaoh, let my people go. You've either read the story or seen the cartoon or whatever. And eventually, through the 10 plagues that come upon the people in Egypt, eventually Pharaoh lets the people, God's people, the Israelites, go. So what where they're going to is they're now heading for the promised land that God had obviously promised. God's plan was to lead his people to the promised land of Canaan. But what Zoe read for us, I don't know if you kind of caught the beginning of it particularly. After they came out of Egypt, God led them, God guided them, not through the most obvious, the shortest route. That would have been a trade route that hugged the southeast shore of the Mediterranean Sea. Instead, did you hear it? God directed the people to turn south into the Sinai wilderness. Let me just read those couple of verses again, verses 17 and 18, that said this. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds, they might return to Egypt. So God led the people around the desert road towards the Red Sea. Now you kind of think to yourselves, I wonder, in that position, did they ask, did they question why to God? God, this is the shortest route and you're taking us this way. Did they ask God? Did they question God? Probably. You presume that they probably did. You know, I'm always questioning my sat-nav. I don't know if you know, especially when we go abroad. Because our sat-nav when we go abroad, when we go to the Netherlands or whatever like that, it seems to take us some, you're like, where are we? We're going across a field, it seems like, you know. So, often, even though I put my destination in, my sat-nav decides where it's going to go, and I'm trying to trust it, but I'm questioning it as it goes along. Can we? Do we question? Do we ask God why at times? I'm sure we can, and I'm sure that we do. I know I do, so maybe you're better than this that I am, but I'm always asking God why? What is going on here? I'm questioning him at times. I think we're allowed to do it. Did God let the Israelites know why in this situation? So God said, I'm going to take you this way. Not the shortest route. I'm taking you to Canaan, to the promised land. But I'm not going to take you that route. I'm going to take you this long way around. Did God tell them why? Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. Actually, there's no record that God tells the Israelites what they must have considered to be a real inconvenience. There's no record that says God stood before them and said, I'm taking you this route because of this reason. We're just saying that God took them that route. I'm sure they questioned why. Did they ask him why? I'm sure they did. But in the end, there's no record that God explained anything to them. But we know that God had his reasons. See, the road that he led them on was to avoid the Philistine country, which would have surely put them in their direct path of war. And obviously, in that respect, many lives would have been lost. Circumstances would have been very different. What we see in this passage, for me, is an example of a God who sees a big picture that we don't see. A God who has a better understanding than we think we do. And what he is doing, he is leading them and he is protecting those that he cares about. It's to me his unseen guidance and his unseen protection. It was not the most obvious way. It was a longer path to travel. Yet God's hand was at work to look after those that he calls his own. When I got my head around that, I thought, that's really interesting to me. Because as I thought about it, I reflected a little bit more upon it. I thought to myself, I just wonder how many times has God done something like that in my life? When has he closed the door that I wanted open? When has he took me down a path that perhaps at the time I didn't necessarily agree with, necessarily understood at the time, or even now understood, but God took me a different way than what I thought I needed to go? When has God perhaps asked me to wait when I was keen to kind of crack on and get going? It's hard to say, yet in all of those times, when has God been doing that? And I believe if he has, he's been doing it for my protection and he's been doing it for my best. And I wonder for yourselves, I wonder how many times that God has done that among us as his people, his community of people in different ways. I wonder how many times people have been turned down for a job that they thought, that's the job I should be getting. And they were turned down for it. And they're going, God, what is going on? Why? I wanted this job. This is the best job for me. It's more money for me. And God, but somewhere in it, I wonder if God's hand has been at work and has said, no, it's not the job for you, actually. But at the time, we didn't understand it. When there's an operation being cancelled, and we're like frustrated and like, I needed that operation. It should have happened this week. And actually God says, no, actually, I need it to happen in a couple of weeks. For whatever reason. I don't know. But yet somehow he was at work in the situation. We just didn't see it at the time. And we questioned it and we wondered before him what was going on. Even I just think to myself, how many times have I been on a journey and hit red light after red light after red light after red light in my car? And I'm frustrated. I'm like, brruh, brruh. And yet for some reason, maybe somewhere in it, God is saying, no, I don't need you to arrive then. I need you to arrive a little bit later. The problem is, it's just hard to know, isn't it? I have no idea. But I get a sense when I read this passage that just many times, I wonder as I look back at my life, and maybe sometimes I can see it, there's probably lots of times I have no idea. But when I read this passage, it's as if God said, yeah, you see, I'm with you and I'm protecting you and care and guiding you. And sometimes you see it, David, and many times you don't. And I think this is one of the ways that God protects us. I think another example of this might be in the Bible, might be Mary and Joseph. When Mary and Joseph had Jesus, very young when he was born, they were told they had to go to Egypt. I wonder if they thought to themselves, I don't want to go to Egypt. But you see, God knew what was going on. He saw a picture that we didn't. He knew what Herod was going to get up to. So he needed them to go to Egypt. He needed them to trust them in that situation to protect the baby Jesus. Just going back to the story. I do need to say that the road and the journey that God's people ended up taking was not an easy option. Because we think, I can see now. God didn't want them to take the road through the Philistine country because they'd have encountered the Philistines and that would have caused all kinds of trouble. That was the difficult road. But actually, the road that God led them on was into the Sinai wilderness. And they found that really tough. They found those conditions really hard. They grumbled like crazy when they were in that desert place. So God didn't take them to an easy route. Things were still hard for them. Things were still difficult for them. But in the end, God was still in the situation. Do you see what I'm trying to say? God's provision was still with them. God's care was with them. He watched over them. He led them. All kinds of things. And in the end, God got them to where he wanted them to go. It was a longer journey. It wasn't an easy journey. But in the end, God got them to where he wanted them to go. Eventually, they walked into the promised land. And I think for me, when I think about this passage, I kind of go to Romans 8, verse 28, and it's one of the verses in the Bible that I struggle with a little bit. Romans 8, verse 28 says this, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes." I find that I grapple with that verse quite a lot. But I believe it because I believe we have a good God. We have a big God, and he's on our side. And I believe that God is wanting to guide us, to protect us, to look after us. That doesn't mean it's an easy road that we will end up on. But somewhere in that, God is at work for the good of those who love him. And that's not always easy to see. But I believe, and I think God spoke to me about that when I was speaking about that passage. I wonder if anybody's in that position today. God is leading you somewhere and you think, God, what are you doing? I don't want to be in this road. I want to go on a different road. But somewhere God is at work because he sees a picture that we don't. He has an understanding that's far greater than what I can understand. Somewhere in the line, we're trusting him because he cares. So that's the first way in which I think God protects us today. The second way that I think God protects us is by providing us with an armour to wear. So the second way I think we can come under God's protection is by wearing what we call the armour of God. We find the armour of God in the Bible. It's in Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 20. And it's this illustration, and it's based around a Roman soldier's uniform. Lots of you will know it, some of you might not. But Paul gives this illustration of putting on, like, not a physical armour, but a spiritual armour for our protection, provided by our God. And he says these verses to set it up. He says, "Finally be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. For our struggles are not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground and after you have done everything, to stand." So I think the second way that God wants to protect us is he wants us to put on the spiritual armour of God, which Paul talks about in Ephesians 6. It's a great illustration. It was at the time, because when he was giving this illustration at the time, the people at the time would have been able to connect with it really well, because they would have known what a Roman soldier looked like, and they could have pictured the kind of the image of what was being said. And I think it's a great illustration for our Sunday school, isn't it? Because, you know, we've all been there, and the Sunday school teacher dresses up the kids, you know, in some sort of armour and says this is what it is and gets the old tin foil out and whatever else. And it's a great Sunday school story. But the armour of God is an adult teaching lesson. It's for us. It's for them, kids, but it's for us as well. Many of you have heard the story of sermons on the armour of God, and you can do a sermon on each piece of the armour quite easily. All I wanted to do is remind you and encourage you to put on the spiritual armour of God as part of your Christian walk, because it is one of the ways in which God will protect you. Put on his armour. So what is the armour of God? Very quickly, the armour of God is the breastplate of righteousness. So this is not a physical thing. We're not going to, you know, holy Matalan and putting on, you know, buying this. This is a spiritual armour based on a physical illustration of a Roman soldier. Roman soldiers had breastplates, and we're encouraged to put on our breastplate of righteousness. What does a breastplate of righteousness do? It protects the heart. It's about knowing who you are in Christ, claiming who you are in Christ. Part of the spiritual armour is what is called a belt of truth around our waist. The belt holds everything else, the whole armour together, really. What does the belt of truth do? Well, it helps us to discern the lies that are around us. And we are bombarded with that stuff all the time. So we need the belt of truth, the spiritual armor of the belt of truth to be discerning when those lies come, whether it's in people's mouths, whether it's on the news, whether it's in social media. Get the spiritual armor of the belt of truth on. The next is the helmet of salvation. Roman soldiers had helmets. Paul says it's the helmet of salvation. What does the helmet of salvation do? Well, it protects us in the battlefield of our mind. And my goodness, how often is that where the battle is fought? It helps us with things like doubt. It helps us with things like fear. It helps us with things like temptation. Putting the helmet on, protecting our minds. The helmet of salvation, knowing that we are Christ, we have victory in Christ. The next is the shield of faith. Roman soldier would have had a really big shield, and as they went forward, it's big and it's strong. What does the shield of faith do? Well, we hold it out in front to extinguish the flaming arrows that come against us. That the enemy fires at us all the time to try and take us out and to try and make us less effective. We have the shield of faith. Hold it up to protect us against those flaming arrows. And then we have the shoes of the gospel of peace. You can read about this armor more in Ephesians 6. You know, Roman soldiers wore sandals with spikes on the bottom to give them grip and hold them steady on difficult terrain. God's peace is our spiritual grip when it comes to life, difficult terrain. Put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. And then finally, hold up the sword of the Spirit. What is the sword of the Spirit? Well, the sword of the Spirit is God's word. The Bible, it's his word. And it's for attack. It's to get out there. And you know, Jesus showed us it, didn't he? When the enemy tried to get Jesus in the desert with the temptations, what did he do? He got the sword of the Spirit out. He used the word of God to defeat the enemy. And the Bible says, look, God wants to protect you, and he's given you something here that enables that protection to happen greater. He gives you the armor of God. And Paul says in verse 18 that we should put this spiritual armor on with prayer. Prayer covers the armor. You know, we're hoping to do a bit of camping again this summer. So the other day, because we're a bit worried, we're going to the Keswick Convention in the Lake District. And we're like, oh my, okay, get ready for rain. Okay. So we had to get the tent out when the sun was shining. We go out and bought the stuff to put on the tent so that to protect it when it's not, let's say, I would say when it rains. I don't want to, it's not going to rain, is it? So it's not going to rain, is it? In case it rains, we've got the tent protector, particularly down the seams and stuff like that. And that's what, you know, God says, put the armor on, and prayer's like that. Cover it in the protection of prayer. And I think also cover it in the protection of praise. This is how we fight our battles. In praise. So, you know, one way that God protects us, I think, is he does lead us. He does guide us. Sometimes it's really obvious. Sometimes we know, but sometimes it's not. But also, he gives us this thing called the armor of God. And the Bible says, put it on daily. I've said before, I used to have a friend who was a policeman and a Christian. And he would say every day before he went on to shift, he would stand in front of the mirror and he would put on the armor of God. He would kind of do it as if he was doing it in a physical way, but he was claiming the spiritualness of it. He would put on his helmet of salvation and he put on his breastplate because he was going out into the world as a policeman, as a Christian. He knew it was going to be tough out there and he knew he needed God's protection. The armor of God is really important. I think we forget. We forget to put it on. So I thought I need to illustrate it. All right, so we need to you remember to put on the armor of God and the value and the importance of it today. So here's my illustration. I'm going to do it here so it's on the camera. We're back to jars of water, but not. It's a different illustration. All right, okay. It's a different illustration. And because I've got down here, I've got 3 oranges. Has it gone off? Don't know why. I think we might be okay. The whole lot again. Interesting. Okay. See, that enemy. I need nothing to. Okay. Here's my illustration with the armour of God using my three oranges. I can juggle, you know. Do you know that? I can juggle with glasses on. Oh dear. You all right then? Oh, no, no, no. I used to be able to juggle, shall I say? Oh, no, no, no. Here we go. Something like that, anyway. So, the illustration is this, really. The water is meant to illustrate the sort of the world around us. The world, the flesh, the devil, all that's around us. And the orange is meant to represent us, but the outer of the orange is having that armour on. That's what we're talking about. God's protection, having that armour on. And when we put the orange in the water, we can see really clearly, what's it doing? It's floating, isn't it? All right? It's floating. But I mean, I'm not a great fan of oranges. But I'm going to peel it, all right, as much as I can. Eh? I'm not. If I'd have been really clever like they do on. Sure. But it sort of slightly defeats the object, isn't it, really? Because if we take the peel off, all right, when I get all sticky now, aren't I? Messed up and mucky. It took me. I did this with a tangerine and it didn't work. I was disappointed. I had to do it with an orange. But if you take the peel off. So the idea of the illustration, obviously, is we're taking off the armour here. Because the outer call is the armour of God. So I've taken off the armour, okay? And then we put the armour back into the world. We put ourselves back into the world. And it sinks. There you go. There you go. Scientist, juggler, you name it. I can do it all. Yeah, right. Let's not go that far. Not go that far. But I think the illustration is appropriate. Because when we're not in the armour, we sink. We drown. And I get this among Christians as well. Because they're not. You're saying, why am I just drowning? And actually, you say to them things like, you know, do you wear the armour of God? And they're like, what? What's that all about? Well, God has given us stuff, but we have to claim it. We have to put it on. We have to use it. So it's really important. You know, we've got this armour. Look it up in Ephesians 6. Put it on. It's a spiritual armour, but it's given by God to protect us because he knows it's rough out there. It's tough and we need it. So he's given us something to help us. But when we're not put, when we don't have the armour of God on, well, we sink. So really quickly, the third way in which I think God protects us, or God wants to protect us, is through following his word, following his ways, and following his will for our lives. And the way I want to just sort of put that together is, I think God protects us through what we call proximity. We've been thinking a lot of this. Some of you have been on the Alive course that we've been doing in our midweek fellowship. And we've been doing the Alive course. And we looked at this week, this whole idea of proximity. The importance and the value of keeping close to God and the things of God. Keeping close to his will in our lives and his way for our lives. In the groups this week, as we talked about proximity, being close to God, we said how it helps us to find real freedom in our lives. But I think it's also necessary in lots of areas of our lives, including this area that we're talking about today, this area of being under God's protection. I think being close to God and the ways of God and the will of God is really important if we want God's protection on our lives. For me, it's a little bit like a sheep being close to the shepherd. When sheep are close to the shepherd, then the shepherd could look after the sheep. It's a little bit like a parent with their child. And you know, when a child is off playing and the parent says, don't go too far so I can't see you. Why do they say that? Because they want to keep an eye on their kids so they know that they're safe. God says, stay close to me because I want to keep an eye on you and I want to look after you. You know, we used to sometimes walk a dog called Maggie. And Maggie was a lovely dog to walk. But the thing about it is, Maggie, you could let her off the lead in the park, but she never went far. And she'd go a little bit, maybe if we're here, she might be at the table over there, but then she'd stop and she'd look back. Are you still with me? She'd never go, she's not one of these dogs that would just go flying into the woods. She was nervous. She was a rescue, and she just needed to know the security that the people that were looking after her were near her. She'd never go far. And I think that's the third way that God looks after us. When we stay close to him, when we stay close to the ways of him, when we stay close to the will of him, then we come under the protection of our Heavenly Father. I believe if we stay close to God, have proximity in our walk with God, I believe he's there more able to guard our hearts and our minds, provide wisdom so that we can navigate the challenges that we face, and offering us a steadfast spiritual refuge in him. When we wander from our God, whether it's in our words and our deeds and our fellowship, or whatever way we want to do, when we stop giving God time, when we move away from his presence, we put ourselves, I believe, in a more vulnerable place in our Christian walk. That's what happened to the prodigal son, didn't it? He was with the father, close to the father, but he decided, no, I'm going to wander off. I don't need the father anymore. He wandered off. And where did he end up? In a pigsty. Desperate. Because he'd wandered away from the proximity and the closeness and the protection and the love of the Father, which should have been around him. So that's the third way. So I think God protects us in all kinds of ways. He wants to protect us. I think it's part of who he is as our Heavenly Father. I think he wants to protect us through his guidance and through his, you know, for the way he leads us. And sometimes we'll see that, sometimes we won't. And it's not always easy to work out. We might think, oh, what are you doing here, God? But is he at work? Can we, like he did with the people of Israel, he took them a different route. Would they have been happy about it? Probably not. Was the route easy for them? No. But it was the best route for them. I think God wants to protect us through his armor. He's given us this spiritual armor to put on. And I think, you think, see, it's tough out there. And I've got to say to you, if you're struggling out there, get your armour of God on. It'll help. It has to. You know? It's no point, leaving it on the side when you're going out, and it's put on the armour of God, and each day put it on so that you're protected. Like we talked about, each day being filled with the Holy Spirit of God the other week. And then finally, stay close to God. Stay close to the ways of God. Stay close to the will of God. Stay close to his word. I'm not saying then that everything's going to be okay all the time, or beautiful green grass wherever you go, but it'll help. It's part of his protection plan for us. I really believe that. So I hope it makes sense today what protection might look like for our God, as I've tried to grapple with it this week. I've explained it. And I realize there's still questions. I still have questions in this. But I do feel what I've said is what I believe to be true. And I hope you do too and benefit from it. We're going to think about a little bit more. We're going to take up communion. We're going to share a little bit as more in God's presence. I picked the song Living Under the Shadow of His Wing to help us to think about those words today. Let's stand again. We're going to share communion together. First Sunday of the month, we do this in our church as just an act of response. And that's it's an open invitation to all who would like to come. We recognize the elements of what we will be taking. We take the bread to remind us of Christ's body broken for us on the cross. We take the red juice to remind us of Jesus' blood shed for us on the cross for our mistakes, for our sin. And, in that we're claiming the rewards of what God has for us beyond that place. And I think this is partly what I'm talking about today. We're talking about that sense of God's reward. One of God's reward is that his protection for his loved ones, for those he cares about. And we're just claiming that today as we're thinking about what that might look like, what that might mean. And so as we prepare to go into communion, and there'll be some music, and we'll invite you to come forward. I'm going to read to you just some verses in the Bible that sort of support what I've tried to share with you today. And so I hope that you'll take these verses in. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Proverbs 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. Psalm 36, verse 7. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadows of your wings. Psalm 5, verse 11. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Psalm 91. Verses 1 and 2. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Psalm 40, verse 11. He tends his flocks like a sheep. He gathers the lambs in his arms and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Isaiah 41, verse 10, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, whoever they are, for the Lord your God goes before you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Daniel 3, verse 17, if we are thrown into the fiery furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, God is faithful. He will always provide a way out. And again, that verse that we started with, Psalm 121, verses 7 and 8, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. I want to trust in the Word of God for my life. I want to understand more of what it means to be protected by God, our Heavenly Father. My God is bigger than anything that the world can throw. I do believe that, and I want to stand in that, and I want to claim the promises of that. But I realize that I might have to do some stuff as well. I might need to keep being filled with the Spirit. I need to put on the armor of God. I need to stay close to the will of God. I need to spend time with God. I need to do all those things that will help me to have that protection over the world, in the world in which we live in today. Does that mean my life will always be easy? And I know it doesn't. But in there, surely, there will be something that holds me. And I've seen it many times before. So we come forward today and we take communion. And I just pray, whatever your prayer is, say thank you to God for his protection so far. Maybe you just want to ask him for something again. Maybe you're struggling and you just want that protection over you. Maybe you just want to be filled with the confidence again in the God that you belong to. As you come forward, maybe you've moved away from his ways and his will. Maybe you've been caught up in the ways of the world, and that's made you more vulnerable. So what you're doing is you're coming back, you're saying, sorry. God, you died for my mess and my sin. I want to say sorry. I want to get back on track with you. I want to be close to you. I want to live my life close to your ways and your will. Whatever it might be, the option is here as we take communion today. Let me pray for us. Lord, as we just pause again before we move out of our seats to take communion, as we take these elements of remembrance of how much you mean to us, all that you've done for us. Lord, I pray that we would come again, put our lives before you. Lord, that we would open ourselves up to your guiding and your leading, to trust you even when things are, well, we don't understand. Lord, would you help us to claim that armor again? That we talk about as being soldiers a few weeks ago. We need the armor of God in the battle around us because the battle is hard. But you've provided a way. You've provided resources spiritually for us. And Lord, would we renew our commitment to be close to you. Let's not wander away from you in our actions and our words. May we get close to you. May we dig deeper into your word for our lives. May we feel that sense of your presence around us. Take us, you know, if we've wandered into the world, bring us home, like the prodigal came home, back to be with the Father. Lord, whatever you want to speak to us about today, we pray that as we take these few moments of response, that you would send your Holy Spirit, fill this place, speak into our lives, refresh us, renew us, challenge us. Lord, we just want to be open. Because we want to go from this place different, not just the same, because we've met with the living God. In Jesus' name. Amen. So like we say, there'll be some music playing. No rush, just take your time. You can come out, you can take the elements here, just stood at the table, maybe a prayer, and then you take it yourself. You might want to share it between you. If you want to, you can take the things and go back to your seat. Don't worry if you've got the little cup under your chair. It's fine. We'll get them at the end. Okay? We'll search you before you leave. Don't worry. Don't worry. It's okay. It's a personal response. I say lots of words. God speaks to you personally. I pray through the songs, through the message, through the reading, through being in fellowship in his name. Respond to him in a personal way today, whatever that might look like for you. The invitation is here.